Konnichiwa, Nihon Cricket Pod do yokoso. Welcome to the latest special edition of the Japan Cricket Podcast. This recording is being done outside. I think this is the first time I've ever done a podcast outside, so there's going to be plenty of background atmospheric noise from grass cutting, rolling, and general nonsense. I'm joined by Japan Cricket Men's Team Head Coach Dougal Benningfield. Welcome back, Dougal.
Always a pleasure to be here on your podcast, Alan, and congratulations on the success so far this year.
Oh, it has been quite a year, and well, we're only just getting into the meat of it, aren't we, Dukes? It's finals season. We just had JCL T20 finals last weekend. I'll wrap that in a separate episode, I think, because this one's all about the international season, which is about to kick off in earnest. It's been a long time coming. When do we start with that? So the last time you named a Japan men's squad was 4 years ago. The last time you named a squad of any kind was 3 years ago. So how was it picking your first squad for this year? A lot of new names in there.
Yeah, there's so many new names. It's almost like you throw away what we had before and it's starting almost something completely new. A couple of familiar names in there, but there's probably a few names that some of the Japan cricket fans out there won't be too familiar with. Although we did see a glimpse of a lot of players in the JPL tournament earlier this year.
And the Futures League, which I guess is a good place to start. There's a lot of young guys coming into the squad. It's a, you know, there's one name there who's past 40. Him yep. aside, I reckon there's maybe only one or two more past 30. So it's a pretty young group.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We've got, by far the oldest in the squad is Shogo Kimura, but still young in a cricket sense. He's only been playing the sport for a few years.
5 years maybe now?
Yeah, and he tells me he has the, you know, body of a 21-year-old. Alex Patmore's into his 30s now, and we've got a couple of players just pushing 30.
I think Sabarish might be 30 by
yeah,
now.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, a lot of young boys in the squad.
Oh, the pups. So, talking about those guys, as you mentioned, we had Ryan Drake, he's named in the squad, Kento Otadobel, Declan Suzuki, and Lachlan Yamamoto-Lake. They all came over and took part in the Futures League and the JPL. So, young bunch. They've all been promoted up from the academy squad.
Yeah, we had a lot of young boys come over and play cricket in Japan for the first time. All of these boys, of course, Japanese passport holders and Japan citizenship, sorry. So growing up playing a lot of their cricket overseas, but very much part of our system now. It's going to be really exciting to see, especially some of our young players, take the field for Japan for the first time.
I'm just thinking out how, you know, we've been doing this for a while, these naming squads and going to tournaments. It's been, you know, 8-9 years, and even when you first started, you're looking to name a young squad to build towards the future. I want to focus mainly on the positives, but we have to address the fact that it has been so long between tournaments, and a lot of the work that's been put in to bring forward some young players has kind of fallen by the wayside because so many of those guys have moved on, or, you know, their lives and their cricket. It's the nature of associate sport that people have sometimes in Japan, a short cycle of playing, and
yeah,
plenty of guys have moved on, but at the same time, it's great that there's other guys coming in to take those spots, and genuine competition for places this time around.
Sure, and to be honest, there are a few players who retired, and we were maybe hoping that they'd keep going, so that came as a little bit of a surprise to me, a few of the players decided to end their international careers, but yeah, one door closes, and yeah, we welcome in a lot of new players who are super talented. So I certainly wouldn't look at it as if we've lost anything. I think it's just a really good opportunity for some new faces to show us what they've got.
We mentioned those new faces, perhaps the biggest plus, maybe, I don't know. Biggest news would be the return of Alex Shirai Patmore. He's, as you say, into his 30s now, but has played for Japan previously. Last time was, I don't know, 8 years ago or something like that. Maybe even longer
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
So him coming back provides us with another wicket-keeping option as well. And that's one area where Japan's pretty strong, right? Serious competition for that. You had four keepers in the full squad, and as we've trimmed that down to 14, you've got to leave a couple of guys out, which must be tough.
Yeah, really tough on the young boys, Marcus Thurgate and Wataru Miyuchi especially. They're playing some pretty good cricket, and they've been left out just because, yeah, we are strong in that keeper batsman department. Alex Shirai Patmore, it could be in career best form. He averaged 100 in the Japan Cricket League last year, and he's averaging somewhere around 80 this year.
He went back to England and scored a couple of hundreds as well.
He did, and JPL player of the tournament, or batsman of the tournament, I think it was. So he's very hard to leave out, and his wicket keeping has been very tidy as well. So he's a very important player in our squad now, back again.
And him and Supa Navaratne will be fighting it out for the gloves.
That's right. Supun's one who's able to throw off the gloves and do a pretty good job as an outfielder as well. So that could be a potential role he might fill, having both of them in the starting 11 potentially.
Yeah, plenty of explosive batting in the lineup. And you mentioned Shogo Kimura. He's a little bit different from most players in Japan, isn't he? He's had a good season. He's left out a year ago, but back in under your stewardship, and has probably surprised a few with how well he's gone and earned his place through runs in domestic cricket.
Yeah, he has surprised a few, and if you look back to the, I think it was round one where he scored that 120 not out, winning the game for his club against the Max Cricket Club. I think he hit 12 sixes.
He hit 7 sixes in 10 balls at one point.
And that, to be honest, that did draw the attention of the selectors. So when it comes to 2020 cricket, we were looking for that kind of role player who could potentially come in anywhere throughout the innings and impact the game straight away with some clean hitting. So that's why he's found himself in the 14, and hopefully for Shogo, he gets his opportunity.
And I think it's great. It really shows that domestic cricket matters, and form in domestic cricket. You earn your place through, you know, runs in the middle and making sure the selectors know that you're around. He had a good day out in one of the sort of local T10 comps as well. Took 30 off and over, I think you said.
He did, yeah. He looked really good on that day, and it just goes to show age doesn't have to be a barrier. We do have a very young squad, but the door's always open for those older cricketers who really persist and continue to work on their game and their fitness well into their late 30s and even 40s in this case.
A couple of familiar names here. Makoto Taniyama, of course, has been around a long time and played for Japan. I don't even know. It's been since before I was here. He's been playing for Japan for 10 years, and yet he's still only 26, I think. 27.
Yeah, I think he's probably the most consistent contributor over the last 10 years for Japan, who's still currently in the squad, definitely.
But some exciting names in the fast bowling. Kohei Kubota has been around for ages and seems remarkable he hasn't made his debut yet. In line for a cap, not just in the tournament, but of course we should also talk about the pre-match bilateral series against Indonesia, which starts a week yesterday, so 6 days away.
Yeah, that's really exciting, I think. And well, prior to a couple of years ago, when the whole COVID thing started, we were playing, of course, Japan was playing international cricket, but it wasn't officially recognised as T20 internationals by the ICC, and that changed, didn't it? When was that exactly?
Put you so on the spot there. It was so long ago now. I reckon it was 2019?
Yep.
Because it was just after we played in the Philippines, so it was like those missed out by like a month.
Yes. Yeah, so
we last played December 2018, the men's team.
Yep. So this is the first time, as of this Sunday, our match against Indonesia, this is the first time the ICC will be recognising us as playing an official T20 international, same as, say, Australia playing India. Exactly the same, right? So that's really exciting for me, I think, and a lot of other people as well.
Yeah, for sure. How much of a challenge is it? We've mentioned these boys who are flying in, that they're not the only ones, of course. The captain, Kendall Kadowaki Fleming, has been around the squad since 2019 as well. That's 3 years in the squad before he's got a chance to play a game. I know he's chomping at the bit to come and finally put on the shirt, but how much of a challenge is it with players scattered around the world coming together? You've got to bring the squad together, of course, but you've got about a week to do that prior to the tournament. But is that something that you've been able to mitigate to a degree with online meetings or whatever else you can do?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. It's a challenge anyway when we have players in Japan who might be based in Tokyo, they might be based in Osaka. So we're a little bit different from the way some of the other countries work, where they might have a squad who basically all live together and train every day. We certainly don't have that. So yeah, you got to get a bit creative. We've certainly had some one-on-one chats over the Zoom recently, making sure all our players are fit and healthy in the lead up to the tournament. But certainly, yeah, there will be a challenge to bring everyone together and gel very quickly for this Sunday. So there will be a little bit of trial and error. No one's expecting everything to go 100% well, but hopefully we can have some really strong performances against Indonesia in the three-match series and be ready to go for the 15th of October when the World Cup qualifiers start.
Looking at the squad, do you feel this is... Well, how do you feel it compares to previous squads? It's been so long that you might have forgotten what the other squads were like, but how do you think it matches up in terms of the balance, the roles everyone's got? We've got four spinners in the squad. There's plenty of batting as well.
Yeah.
Seems to match up pretty well from what I'm looking at.
I think it's the most balanced squad that we've ever selected for Japan. And on paper, it is definitely the strongest squad we've ever selected for Japan. And if you look at some of the names who have been left out and who are very unlucky, that speaks to how strong this squad is. But I say strong on paper because we haven't seen them play yet, have we?
Yeah, so. We have no idea. yeah, I mean, several of these guys, you know, Kento Otodobel comes in off the back of a World Cup qualifier for the under-19s and, of course, playing in that World Cup. It's great to see a positive from that World Cup campaign back in 2020.
Sure. Kento's progressed a lot since then with his cricket and his bowling. He's gotten stronger, faster, more accurate, developed some really good variations, which were on display in the JPL. Another player from that World Cup, Marcus Thurgate, wasn't far away from being selected in that squad of 14 either, and he's still very, very young. So certainly some positives have come out of that World Cup appearance, no doubt.
Yeah, so they come in, you know, Kento comes in with international experience, which will count for something. It's more than what a lot of these guys have. And we've mentioned Alex Shelai-Patmore coming back. He has an international 100 to his name, so that's good experience to bring in. And of course, one of the biggest changes since we were last naming squads is that we are now selecting some non-passport holders.
That's right.
So guys like Subhash Ravichandran, anyone who follows Japan cricket will know that name because he's been player of the year, I think, three out of the last four or something like that.
Yep.
So again, he may be 30, but he's bringing a terrific amount of experience and know-how on the cricket field.
Yeah, you'd include Piyush Kumbhari and also Supun Navaratna. Those three players get their opportunity as, I don't know what you call them these days, expats is one word, but I don't think it's quite the right word, or those three
resident players, I think.
Those three men have moved their lives over to Japan and have spent the last several years here and have no plans on leaving. So they thoroughly deserve their places in this squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about competition and strength and depth. Another guy who's been very much to the fore in the Japan cricket scene is on the reserve list, Vinay Iyer. I know he's someone who's desperate to get out there for Japan and, you know, was delighted to be named in the original training squad and will hopefully get a chance to make his debut during the Indonesia series, do we think?
Oh, there's a strong possibility of that. Speaking of the unlucky players, he was probably the most unlucky. And we had that chat together, so he's still very keen. He's still got a very positive attitude and every chance to represent Japan.
And it does show the strength and depth as well, doesn't it? I mean, you can leave out someone who's shown the form that he has over the last couple of years. Of course, we play mostly 40 over cricket. It's a 20 over tournament. It's a slightly different skill set, and we talked about Shogo earlier. He's a guy who can bomb 30 off and over. It's pretty unique skill set to have. The other one we mentioned, Kendall Kadowaki Fleming, will come in as captain. We've also got Leo Sakalano Thomas as vice captain. How do you think those guys will go as a leadership team?
I think they're well placed to not only play good cricket, but bring that leadership, as you're saying, to the group. Kendall has experience captaining at a very high level of club cricket, or grade cricket, as we say, in Australia, and also should be coming in with a lot of confidence, having already scored 550 runs this season. The season's hardly started. In Australia, we're just getting into spring.
Seems to be seeing okay.
Rio's coming off a pretty good club season in Japan as well. Take a lot of wickets, but also just the way he's bowled, being able to beat the bat, and probably has been the leading fast bowler in the JCL this year, I would say. Got a very good cricket brain as well, which is why he's been made vice captain, and we expect him to be a pretty strong player for the team for a number of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at these guys, there is a nice mix, and I think that they should all be excited. I'm sure they're all champing at the bit to get out there. In terms of the opposition we've got, Indonesia and Korea, what do you expect from them?
Wow, there's so many unknowns, aren't there? It's been, it's been a good 3 years since we've played either of those teams.
And they haven't played either in that time.
Yeah, so they're wondering what to expect from us. You can get a lot of change for any sporting team, no matter if it's club level or international level. You can get a lot of change in personnel from 1 year to the next. When you multiply that by 3 years, it can be a totally different team. So it's almost irrelevant what happened 3 years ago. So we're not going to be looking backwards too much. The Indonesia team, I would expect to be younger players, probably well drilled in the field, more athletic types. We'll probably get a fair bit of medium pace or quicker medium pace from them, the bowling side, and they'll probably be pretty quick between the wickets as well. I'd expect the Koreans will play a slightly different game. They'll be the average age of that squad is a lot older, so they have a lot more experience, and they'll probably rely a bit more on their boundary hitting ability with the bat, and they might have one or two crafty spinners in their attack as well. So I think they'll be very, very different teams that we come across.
Yeah, it's been a long time since 2018, and personally can't wait for it. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to watch the games, both on the JCA YouTube channel and on ICC TV. And hopefully we'll be bringing you all the action on commentary, plenty of match reports, and maybe even get a chance to speak to you during the tournament, Dukes. Certainly at the end of it.
Yeah. And I just call on all the club cricketers throughout Japan, all the cricket fans. Please come up and watch. Make the drive up to Sanno, or the train trip up to Sanno. You've probably played with or against some of these players if you've played club cricket in Japan, and it's just a really great opportunity to celebrate how far cricket's come in this country, and it should be great fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We should probably run through the schedule, shouldn't we? So the Indonesia series, as mentioned earlier, will start, by the time this goes out, a couple of days. Sunday, October the 9th, the first game, 1:30 start. Second game the following day on the 10th, also a 1:30 start. The Tuesday the 11th, starting a bit earlier at 09:30. So it's a three-match series. Best of three there. And then the men's T20 World Cup qualifiers. First match starts on October the 15th. The first match for Japan will be in the afternoon at 1:30. And then we play again the following day at 1:30 against Indonesia. It's Korea on Saturday, Indonesia on Sunday. On the Monday, it's back to Korea again, also at 1:30. And then the final day of the tournament, Tuesday the 18th of October, 9:30 start, Indonesia, Japan. Followed by Korea and Indonesia to round off the tournament. And the winners of this tournament, of course, Dougal, it's winner goes through to a regional final, which has recently been confirmed as being Papua New Guinea, Philippines, and Vanuatu. So,
yeah, some pretty good teams in there.
We don't want to think too far ahead, but playing against those guys would be a good test of where we're at. And, of course, the winner of that competition goes straight into a 20-team World Cup. So the pathway's there. Hopefully we can take advantage of it, eh?
That's the dream, isn't it?
Isn't it? Can you imagine?
Yep.
Great stuff. Well, Dougal, thanks for joining me. Good luck.
Hopefully thank you very much.
The boys will come together. They'll get here as well. There's a few guys on flights. Hopefully there's no mishaps. But fingers crossed, it's a great tournament for team and spectators alike.